of us to be attentive. Lord, help me to do a good job at explaining the verses, Lord. And I'm just a human being trying to explain a spiritual book, and I need your help, Lord. I pray you'd help me to be able to explain this passage, Lord, and that we might learn from it and grow from it, and that we would not waste an opportunity to grow from your word, Father. We love you in your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in Romans chapter number 7. If you remember last week, we dealt with the first part of Romans chapter number 7, and we talked about the law, and we went through the law, and I think we studied that out pretty thoroughly. This week, we'll be dealing with the second part of Romans chapter number 7, and next week we'll move on to Romans chapter number 8. So if you skip down to verse number 14, we ended at verse 13 last week, and in verse 14, the Apostle Paul begins to explain this concept, which I think, I feel like I talk about this a lot, but I think we need to talk about it because it is so important to the success of your Christian life. And Paul talks about it here at the end of chapter 7, and then he brings it up again at the end of chapter 8. So next week we'll deal with the first part of chapter 8, and then we'll go again into this subject, but we'll look at it in chapter 8 next time. But in verse 14, Paul says this. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." And I want you to notice this. He says, "But I am carnal, sold under sin." And Paul begins to explain in these next few verses, and he's going to expound on it even more in chapter 8. But he begins to explain this concept of the carnal man versus the spiritual man, or the inward man. Now, what you need to understand, that word, if you look at verse 14 there, you see how it says, "I am carnal." That word carnal is referring to his body or his flesh. If you, the Bible word, let me give you a few words here to think about as you read through your Bible. Today we use the word meat, referring to what the Bible calls flesh. The Bible, the King James Bible, when you read the word meat in the Bible, in the 1611 version of the Bible, the word meat simply is our word food, okay? That's why when you're reading through the book of Leviticus, and it says that they brought a meat offering, and it talks about, you know, they're bringing like a wafer or a pancake, you know, it's a grain thing, there's no animal there. It's called a meat offering because it's a food offering. The Bible word for meat, what we call meat, is flesh, okay? The word carnal there is referring to the flesh. For those of you who speak Spanish, you know that the Spanish word for meat is carne. It comes from the same root word. So Paul says, "I am carnal," referring to his flesh. Now, if you skip down just real quickly, look at verse number 22, and we're gonna go back to verse 14 here in a second. But if you look down at verse 22, he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Do you see that? So he makes a reference. He says, "I am carnal," referring to his outer man, referring to his flesh, his body. And then he makes a reference to another man, which is an inward man. You say, what's going on with Paul? Does he have multiple personalities, or what are you talking about? What you need to understand is that we all have a flesh. We all have, when you were born, you were born a body, and you were born a soul. The soul is what you are, okay? The soul is who you are. The soul is who you'll always be. Your soul, the Bible uses the word soul, mind, heart interchangeably. It's just who you are minus the physical body. Do you understand what I'm saying? One day you'll die and this body will be buried, but your soul will be in heaven. That's who you are. That's who you'll be for eternity. The soul is where we think and feel and love and have emotion, but it's more than that. It's your actual being, all right? So you've got a body and you've got a soul, but the Bible tells us when you got saved, and we already talked about it in Romans chapter 6, and I'm not going to go back and talk about that, but it talks about the fact that when you got saved, you were quickened, or you were made alive, and you became a new creature in Christ. So now there are two people, which is really just you, but two sides of you. You've got the flesh, or the carnal side, and you've got the inward man, or the spiritual man. And that's what Paul is dealing with the subject. So you need to understand this concept that we all have a flesh man, or a carnal man, or an old man. Some sometimes referred to as an old man in the Bible, and we all have the inward man or the spiritual man, or sometimes referred to as the new man in Scripture. Now, it's still you. Do you understand that? But there's a sinful side of you, and there's the spiritual side. Look at verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." And in verse 22, he says, "I've got an inward man." Now, what you need to understand, and I'm not going to be very long tonight, I promise. I'm going to try to get you out of here early, if anything. I've just got a couple points, a few things I want you to notice from the passage tonight. Point number one, you need to understand, there is a spiritual battle within ourselves. If you're saved, there is a battle going on inside of you every day, and it's between your old man and your new man. It's between your flesh and your spirit. It's between the sinful side of you and the spiritual side of you. And Paul begins to describe this battle that goes on inside of him every day. Look at verse 15. Tell me if this sounds familiar to you. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not." You know what he's saying? He's saying the things that I don't allow other people to do, that's what I do. He says, I tell my kids not to lie, and then I find myself lying. I tell my kids, you know, not to disobey me, and then I find myself disobeying God. You understand what I'm saying? He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would," that word "would" there is talking about what I would like to do, or my will, the things that I would like. Notice what he said. "For what I would, that do I not." Does that sound familiar? Paul's saying, I want to read the Bible, but then I end up not reading the Bible. I want to spend time in prayer, but then I end up not praying. I want to, you know, get to church, but then I end up skipping out of the church. I want to go soul winning, but then I didn't go soul winning. I wanted to spend time with my children, but then I ended up not doing it. That's what he's saying. He says, "For what I would, that do I not." Notice what he says. "But what I hate, that do I." He says, the things I want to do, I end up not doing. The things I hate, you know, sin, I hate the world, I hate anything that's anti-God, and then I end up doing those things that I hate. And by the way, that's usually where the guilt and depression comes in. Look at verse 16. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Isn't that interesting? He says, look, I do the things that I would not like to do, and the fact that I don't want to do whatever, the fact that I don't want to do the drugs, or I don't want to drink alcohol, or I don't want to, you know, whatever it is that you're struggling with, and I end up doing it, really what you're consenting is the fact that the law is good. You know, we need to get to a place in our Christianity, and I'm not saying that this is perfect maturity, because it's not, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the first steps to maturing as a Christian is being able to identify sin outside of your life. An immature Christian will hear Pastor Jimenez or whoever, a Bible preacher, preach against sin, and because it's something that you happen to do or you happen to have done, you think, well, you can't say that. A mature Christian can at least, a maturing Christian or a more mature Christian can at least say, well, you know, maybe I got a divorce, but I understand scripturally why it's wrong to get a divorce. You understand that? Can you sin and still identify sin? That's what Paul is saying. Look at verse 16. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Here's an immature Christian. "Pastor, I don't think you should ever talk about alcohol." Why? "Because I used to drink." Well, that doesn't make any sense. We'll never talk about anything. And that's, by the way, why most churches don't ever talk about anything. That's why most churches don't ever preach on any sin. And I'm not saying that you say, well, if I can identify that my sin, then am I a mature Christian? No, but you're getting there. He says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." He said, if I'm doing something, but I know it's wrong, and I don't want to do it, but I end up doing it, at least I'm mature enough to consent that the law is good. That there is a place for the law of God in my life. Look at verse 17. "Now then," notice. Now it's going to sound like he's going to begin to shift the blame here, but you need to understand, we'll look at more scriptures here in a second, but look at verse 17. He says, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," notice the carnal man, He says, dwelleth no good thing. You'll do yourself a favor in your Christian life if you just realize that anything that your flesh desires, it's not good. People often say to me, Pastor, if you, we could do this and we could do that, we could bring in more lively music, we could look, but, and they'll say people would like it more. But here's why people like it more, because their flesh likes it more. Anytime that your flesh likes something, just remember, it's bad. Why? Look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now notice what he says. For to will is present with me. He said, I'm willing or I'm wanting to, I have a desire to do. Does this sound familiar to you, or am I the only one that this is describing? He says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I have this inward struggle inside of my heart. He says, what I want to do, I end up not doing. What I hate, I end up doing. What I tell others not to do is what I do. He's saying, I have this inward struggle. You say, Pastor, I just don't understand it. It's just every day I feel like I'm struggling and I'm battling and I'm fighting. Hey, that's normal. Just means you're saved. You know who I get worried about? The Christians who can live in the flesh and live in the world and live in carnality and never even give it a second thought, never even bothers them. There's no conviction, there's no guilt, and none of that. Those are people I'm worried about, because I think to myself, well, and I understand the Bible says you can quench the spirit, and I get that. But it's healthy to have a struggle inside of you where you're saying, well, I wanted to do this, but I ended up not doing it. I wanted to get up early and pray, but I ended up not doing it. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to look at that. I didn't want to partake in that conversation. I didn't want to be in that situation, but I did it anyway. And I hate it, but I did it. So what is that? That's a battle. Look at verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, notice what he says, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So you need to understand. You say, well, what is it that Paul's describing? Well, if you're honest, you would realize, if you were a Christian that's actually trying to do right, you would realize that Paul's describing you and I. But what he's describing is the spiritual battle that goes on in the heart of every believer. And that battle is declared, and look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members. That word members is referring to your body again. The word members in the Bible is referring to your body part, body members. He says, but I see another law in my members. Notice what he says, warring. Do you see that word warring? That's talking about, I'm at war. My body parts, my members, are warring against the law of my mind, or my heart, or my soul. That's who you are. I'm not talking about the, you know, piece of gray thing you've got up here when the Bible talks about your mind. It's talking about who you are. He says, my flesh is warring, my members are warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You need to understand this if you're going to be successful in your Christian life, that there is a battle going on inside of you. Keep your finger there in Romans chapter 7. Like I said, we're not going to be very long tonight, but I want you to get this and understand it. Go to the book of Galatians real quickly. Galatians chapter number 5. You're there in Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you've got the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 16. Galatians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 16. Galatians 5:16. You ever said to yourself, I'm going to read X amount of chapters today in the Bible, and then never got to it? I'm going to read 9 chapters today. I meant to. I was going to get up and spend an hour in prayer, bless God. But I meant to. I was going to spend all, 3 days fasting, and then I put a donut in my mouth, and I thought, wait, good night, I'm supposed to be fasting, you know what I mean? You say, what is that? That's a spiritual battle. Galatians chapter number 5, look at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Notice, and these, what are those, these referring to? Your flesh and your spirit. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. I'm just here to tell you that you say, well, is knowing that I'm in a battle going to help me win the battle? No, we're going to talk about how you're going to win the battle here in a second. But the first step to being able to win the battle is realizing that you're in a battle. And we like to blame the devil, and we will preach against the devil. And we like to blame the world, and we will preach against the world. But the number one person you're fighting with every day is yourself. Your number one worst enemy is you. Is the flesh that is fighting against that spiritual man. Now here's the thing. If you're saved, there is a spiritual man that truly does. You know, I believe one of the things that often I think to myself, you know, this is my opinion, okay? Just so you understand that. You can turn me off if you'd like to. But one of the things that kind of helps me realize affirms in my mind that someone is saved is when they come to a church like Verity Baptist Church and they like this type of preaching. They like a pastor to stand up and preach God's word and preach it authoritatively and boldly. No, unsaved people don't like this. And there's nothing in our flesh that would like. The only thing that appeals to people, this type of preaching or this type of church, the only way it appeals to someone is if it appeals to their spiritual man. You understand that? And you say, well, I come to this church and I'm not very sacred. Well, that's because you've got a flesh, but we understand that there is a spiritual man inside of you that says, I want to do right. I want to grow. I want to read the Bible. I want to pray. I want to serve God. Hey, there ought to be that desire if you've got a spiritual man. You say, well, I don't always do it. That's because you're in a battle. But there's that desire in your heart. Now, the problem is this. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Look at verse number 41. Matthew chapter number 26, should be fairly easy to find, the first book there in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, notice what the Lord said. He said, watch and pray, Matthew 26, 41. Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Here's why. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, the flesh is often stronger than our spiritual man, but it's weak to temptation. Meaning your flesh cannot deny a temptation. That's what he said. He said, watch and pray that you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Talk to people who struggle with drunkenness. Talk to people who struggle with drug addictions. Many of them will say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. But if the temptation is present, a lot of times your flesh is just too weak. You say, well, what do we do? Well, the person you need to realize is you're in a battle. The battle is declared. And by the way, let me just say this. Go to Proverbs real quickly. Proverbs chapter 24. Let me just say this. When I read, there is a movement of Christianity today that says when you get saved, your sin nature is eradicated and you no longer sin, you no longer have a desire to sin. I want to say Paul Washer is a famous preacher today. And I want to say that Paul Washer is famously known for saying there is no such thing as a carnal Christian. Well, he obviously never read Romans chapter number 7. Because Paul said, I am carnal. And then Paul begins to give you the struggle of his personal walk. And by the way, that takes a lot for a man to let you in and let you know, hey, I struggle. Let me say this. It is not an excuse for us to say, well, Paul struggled, but I find a little bit of encouragement to think if a man as great as Paul struggled, then it's normal for you and I to struggle. You understand that? Now the difference is this. Are you there in Proverbs 24? Look at verse number 16. Because I'm not giving you an excuse. Sometimes I say things and people come up to me. Some of them come up to me and say, Pastor, I really appreciate you saying that about Paul. It makes me feel a whole lot better about what I'm into. I'm not saying that's an excuse. I'm saying it's good to realize that other men and other people. Hey, the Bible says there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We like to throw pity parties for ourselves and think, well, nobody else is going through what I'm going through, and nobody else has ever dealt with what I'm dealing with. And no, a lot of people have. A lot of people have dealt with exactly what you're dealing with. There has been no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it, is what the Bible said. Are you there in Matthew 24? Look at verse 16. Matthew 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. Notice what... Here's the trick. Here's what you need to understand. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. You say, Pastor, I set out to do something spiritual today and I messed it up. Someone said this. Make sure... The flesh may knock you down, but make sure it doesn't knock you out. You say, I lost the battle today. Okay, that's fine. Make sure you get back up. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. The only way to lose is to quit altogether. Sometimes we think, well, I failed in this area. I was trying to get victory in this area and I messed up, or I went back in, or I failed, or I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And then people say, I quit. No, don't quit. It's a spiritual battle. You say, well, I fell. Well, a just man falls seven times and get it up again. Make sure you get back up. Make sure you get back up and get back in that fight. Go back to Romans real quickly. Romans chapter number 7. See, the first thing you need to realize is you're in a battle. The second thing you need to realize is that there are ways to win the battle. You don't have to live in defeat. Now, in verse 17 of Romans chapter 7, I want you to notice what Paul says. He says, Now then, Romans chapter number 7, verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, notice this, but sin that dwelleth in me. You need to understand that sin actually dwells inside of you. Sin dwells in your carnal, fleshly members. Look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. By the way, nothing good dwells in your flesh. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Look at verse 20. Skip down to verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, notice, but sin that dwelleth in me. You need to realize, you are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. You were born a sinner. Your body's a sinner. You people have the idea. Well, if there was a man that never sinned, other than we know Jesus Christ, there was a man that was not God in the flesh who never sinned, would he go to heaven? The thing is, you're born a sinner. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You were not, you say, well, I became a sinner because I sinned. No, you sin because you're a sinner. Sin dwells inside your flesh. And you say, what does that have to do with anything? Here's what you need to understand. What feeds your flesh is sin. The more you sin, the more you feed your flesh. It's easier to say no to a drink of alcohol if you've never drank alcohol. But after you've had, you know, a million bottles or whatever, it gets harder because your flesh gets accustomed to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why we tell you, you've got to guard your flesh. So I tell you, you got to turn off that television. You say, well, I don't watch anything bad on the television. There's commercials. You men need to guard your eyes. Why? Because the more you accustom your flesh to it, you're emboldening, you're strengthening your flesh. Why? Because sin dwells inside of you. And as you bring sin into your life every day, you're in the world and you do things and you say things and you listen to things and you look at things and you act certain ways and you do whatever, it feeds your flesh. By the way, that's why I believe Wednesday night Bible study is so important. Because you come to church on Sunday morning, you get preached at. You come to church on Sunday night, you get preached at. And hey, Sunday's a great day in the Lord, but then you go back into the world on Monday. And you go back into the world on Tuesday. And you're back in there on Wednesday. And you need that refresher to get somebody to get back in the Word and get somebody to help you and say, hey, you know, just get a little of that sin off of you. You understand what I'm saying? Because sin dwells in your flesh. You say, well, why is it that my sin is so strong? Why is it that my flesh is always winning? Because your flesh is what you're always feeding. Look at verse 22 again. Notice what he says. For I delight in the law of God. He says, I delight in the law of God. Notice, after the inward man. Sin strengthens your flesh. The law of God strengthens the inner man. Look at verse 14 again. For we know that the law is spiritual. See, your inward man is a spiritual man. So when you feed your spiritual man spiritual things, it helps your spiritual man grow stronger. That's why we believe in Bible. You say, Pastor, every time I come here, you talk about this. Look, I'm just preaching the Bible. God talks a lot about the fact that you need God's Word. It strengthens your inner man. It strengthens your, it's interesting to me that when people come to church and they hear the preaching, when they go home and they read the Bible, when they're in their Bible, when they're in their Word, maybe they listen to a different preaching, online or whatever, as long as you're listening to a good King James Bible preacher, hey, I'm all for you listening to preaching. Listen to the Bible in your car. You're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're meditating, you're feeding your inward man. You realize, man, I'm doing a whole lot of things successful in my Christian walk. But when you're not feeding your inward man and all you're doing is feeding your flesh, then you wonder why you can't get control over your flesh. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quickly. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 16. Notice what it says. Wherefore, henceforth, Second Corinthians chapter 4, is that what I said?
Yeah.
Verse 16, look what it says. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, you see that? Our outward man, that's the flesh, that's the members, that's the carnal man, that's the man you see. He says, though our outward man perish, yet, notice, the inward man is renewed day by day. You got to renew that inward man every day. You need to be in your Bible every day. You need to be praying every day. You need to be doing spiritual things every day. Why? Because it renews that inward man. As you feed the inward man, you'll begin to win the battle. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Look at verse, 1 Corinthians chapter number... This wasn't in my notes. I just thought about this verse right now. Let me see if I can find it real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter... 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 27. Look what he says. But I keep... 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. We're almost done. Good night. What time is it? Okay, we're good. Man, if I get done in the next 5 minutes, you're going to get out of here 15 minutes early. All right? So pay attention. Look at what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 27. But I keep under my body. It's talking about, the word keeping there is talking about controlling. You heard of like a goalkeeper or a doorkeeper? They protect that area. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. The word subjection there is referring to the fact that I make my body listen to me. I make my body do what I want it to do. I make my flesh be under subjection to me. Look what he said. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others... What's he saying? When I told people what I don't allow them to do, or what I do allow them to do, or what they should or shouldn't do. He said, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let me tell you something. If you do not learn to get your body under control, to get your flesh under control... You won't be here a year from now. You won't be serving God. Why? Because when your flesh is out of control, no man can control it. And your inward man will be saying, I wish we could go to church. I wish we could read the Bible. I wish we could have a relationship with God. I wish, would you say? I can't. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak to temptation. You've got to get it under control. And getting your body under control means sometimes you do things you don't want to do, but you force them to do. I think it's funny, sometimes people say things to me or my wife as if we're, not human or something. You know, we get tired like you get tired. You know, let me just, you know, confessing your faults one to another. You know, sometimes Pastor Jimenez, in my flesh, not my spirit, but in my flesh, you know, I went to bed at 1 a.m., got up at 5 in the morning, worked all day, got home 45 minutes before, you know, an hour before church, took a shower, ate some of my wife's homemade baked cookies for dinner, and came to church. Now look, in my flesh, yeah, my flesh would like to be home, sleeping on a couch, but I force myself to do what the inward man needs to do. You understand that? People are like, well, you do that because you're the pastor. No, you need to do that to control so that you can have a testimony and a ministry. I'm trying to help you because, I mean, Paul said, hey, I've preached to others. Paul said, I've taken the gospel to the world. Paul said, I've started churches and I've done a mighty work. And if I don't keep my body under subjection, he said, I'll be a castaway. And if Paul was in fear of that, how much more should you and I be in fear of that? Somebody said to my wife recently, I don't, you know, I couldn't do it. You know, you come to church and you have those kids with you, and you've got to have, you got to take care of the children, and you're a pastor's wife, and you go soul winning still, and you know, people, I love it when ladies talk to my wife because they're like, well, I can't go soul winning because, you know, I've got, you know, children. I'm thinking to myself, your kids are like 17. It's funny because my wife was soul winning with, and the children. And you know, we have help with grandma. But even when grandma doesn't help, she still goes. Now you say, are you trying to guilt her? I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just trying to say, you can do it if you force yourself to do it. Where there's a will, there's a way. I couldn't read 9 chapters today because I've got this and that. It's funny how everybody else has this and that and they can do it. I'm just saying the difference between some people have an I can attitude and some people have an I can't attitude. And as Christians, we should have an attitude of I can do all things through Christ. People say to my wife or me, well, you guys, you know, because you're a pastor. It's funny because the Bible says that we are to be an example. People think, well, the pastor is supposed to be an example to the believer. That's not what the Bible says. In 1 Timothy, if you look it up, the Bible says that we are to be an example of the believer, not to the believer. Study that out. Go through the requirements of a pastor and what it says there about a pastor's wife and what it says about a deacon and a deacon's wife. It doesn't say that we are to be an example to the believer. It says that we are to be an example of the believer. What that means is that when you see Pastor Jimenez out soul winning, you should be out soul winning. When you see Pastor Jimenez at church, you should be at church. When you see Pastor Jimenez reading 9 chapters today, you should be reading 9 chapters. We're not doing something because we're being an example to you because we're so great. No, we're trying to show you this is how a Christian lives. Say, well, people, you're pastor. Wife, you guys are special. No, we're just like you. We get tired like you. We get disappointed like you. We get angry like you. We get upset like you. We get happy like you. We get everything that you get. But you have to learn. Here's the trick. Deny your flesh. So why? So you can win the battle. Now, go back to Romans chapter 7. We're done right now. Romans chapter 7. Here's what's interesting. This is how Paul ends the whole thing. And he talks about it again in Romans 8. But notice verse 24. Well, let's read verse 23 again. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24. Notice what he says. Oh, wretched man that I am. He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know what he's saying? He said, I'm going to struggle with this for the rest of my life. Paul says, I'm going to have an inward fight my entire life until God takes this wretched man away. Until this body goes away and I get a new glorified body. What you need to understand is that not only are you in a battle, but you're in a battle for the rest of your life. So you might as well just get used to it. You might as well just realize you're in a battle and start getting a little spiritual. You see what I'm saying? Being your life. Be praying. He said, Pastor, why do you preach like this? So I'm trying to help you not be a castaway. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of his death? But don't get so upset. Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, look, there's victory. I'm not going to get into it, but if you look at verse 8, we're going to look at it next week. He says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? He's saying, look, you got this inward battle and your flesh keeps bothering, your flesh keeps fighting you. He said, just realize, in Christ Jesus, we have victory. In Christ Jesus, we have salvation. In Christ Jesus, we have the power of God. In Christ Jesus, you can win the battle. You do not have to live under subjection to your flesh. Say, Pastor, I messed up. Hey, a just man falls 7 times and getteth up again. Make sure you say, I got knocked out. Don't get knocked out. Just get knocked down and get back up. That's the Christian life. That's the spiritual life. And the more you're at it, the more you're at it, you'll grow, you'll get better. And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dearly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, thank you for Wednesday night Bible study. I love Wednesday night Bible study because maybe it gives me an opportunity to just preach things that are just part of the text. We're in the second part of Romans chapter 7 this week because we were in the first part of Romans chapter 7 last week. And in Romans chapter 6 the week before that. Lord, I just think there's value in studying your word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Lord, I pray you'd help us to mature, to grow, to realize that we don't have to be so... We're not giving an excuse for sin. But when we fail, just realize that, okay, I lost this battle, but I'll win the next one. And Lord, I pray you'd help all of us to have the mindset that we're going to bring our flesh into subjection. We're going to force it to do the things it doesn't want to do. Father, we love you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.